Accession number 31466, Mr. Tom Stringer, Reel 4. Now, so what happened there? You had this 2 weeks rest, then what?
2 weeks. And then, we went back to the Delta. I beg your pardon. We went back to Syria. Went to Syria. And I think we were hoping to go through Turkey to the Balkans. But then Turkey said no entrance. They wouldn't allow us to go through.
They were neutral, weren't they?
Yeah, so they wouldn't allow us to go through to the Balkans. I think Churchill's idea was to go through the Balkans, but Turkey wouldn't allow us. So we had to go all the way back to the Delta, Alexandria. And then we got on the boat, Alexandria. And then we went on to Italy. I was still a runner then, and I remember Captain Beale, I think he's a major then, saying to me, "Would you tell the platoons that your platoon, it's Italy?" So nobody knew where they were going. About, they all thought they were going home for the Second Front. Thought they'd get a leave and then at the Second Front. When I went back and told them it was Italy, all their faces dropped because there's no leave.
And so, what did people think? I mean, what did you think when you heard it was Italy?
Well, I was a bit disappointed because I thought it was going to be, England. And I thought if it's England, we'd definitely get 7 days leave. But after Italy, we thought, oh, no.
So where did you go in Italy? When did you land in Italy, roughly?
At Taranto. That's underneath the hill. Yeah.
And what were your first impressions when you landed at Taranto?
Well, it looked quite a nice country because it's green and that. And then there was, I always remember going to some place in the near the where the olive trees were, and there was these young Italian girls singing, and that was quite a relief to us, you know.
Now, when did you land? Was that September? But you weren't in the Sicilian campaign at all?
No, we weren't in Sicily at all, no.
And you weren't in the landings at Salerno? That was
we weren't in the land of Taranto, no. No, we joined in after that.
So that would be September-ish?
September 43. Yes, could be September 43, yeah.
So it was not that you were just coming in as reserves, were you?
Yes. Or support, yeah.
So what happened next then?
Then we went to on the other what side is that?
The
Adriatic, that's it. We went on the Adriatic side, and then winter started setting in, and I couldn't believe this snow in Italy, and it was really bitter cold. And I think we tried to get to take a place called Ortona and Orsonia, but then we had there was a 5th battalion, the Essex, or 1st or 2nd 5th of the Essex had to fight in this place called Ortona, and with the New Zealanders, and they took this place, Ortona. But we weren't involved in it, not the first of all.
Now, what were you doing? You'd landed at Taranto. Where'd you go?
We just taking up positions there. We just doing nothing, really. It was on the Adriatic side. We just done a bit of digging for road, helping the roads there. But then we got called to the other side then.
To the west side?
To the yeah.
Now, what about, getting cold. I mean, you landed in September, it gets winter, October. Yeah. So what about your uniform? Were you still in the desert things, or did you get issued with proper, winter uniform?
Not desert, no. Ordinary KD.
Khaki deal, yeah.
Yeah.
And did you have enough uniform? I mean, were you warm enough?
Not really, not for their winter, no. I think we weren't really prepared for an Italian winter, because coming from, you know, hot climate to, to, I mean, I always thought Italy was, I didn't realise Italy was so cold, but in the, when you get to the mountains, it gets very cold there.
So you were you moved to the west side.
First of all to the Adriatic, then we moved over to the other side. To that's Tyrrhenian, isn't it? Tyrrhenian. Yeah.
So what happened then?
And we was in a reformatory. Our company.
A what?
A reformatory, a boys' reformatory. It was. Now that was began with a P.
It's all right. I get the impression you don't remember the Italian place names as well.
I should remember this place where the reformatory is.
So what was happening there? Well, what were you doing? Just
Avigliano. That's the place. Avigliano.
Do you know how you spell it?
Avigliano. I think.
And what was happening there? You were just.
No, we were just. I don't know what we were doing. Just doing nothing really. We had to go out one night while we were there. It was snowing heavily, and apparently the Gurkhas were on. Cut off on one of the roads up in the mountains. And it's about 2 o'clock in the morning, we were called up and we had to go out, and I've never seen snow like it. So we had to dig the roads, clear the roads for the Gurkha, they couldn't get back. The snow was so heavy. It was right up in the mountains, well, it was very cold, and it was 2 o'clock in the morning we got called out. And I also remember that snow, trying to.
You were just clearing snow,
yeah. But hope for the roads the Gurkhas to get through back again. I think they were on the stunt really. I don't think they were involved in any fighting, just a bit of training and eye exercise. And
what was this boys' reformatory like? It's just a school.
It's a great big building. Massive building.
What was it for then, normally?
Well, for the, I think the kids that have got into trouble, I think, within.
Oh, like a borstal.
But yeah.
And so, what were conditions good there? In the
that was all right there because we, I think we, I remember a Christmas there. So that must have been Christmas, 40. Christmas 43. Yeah, we had a Christmas dinner there.
So how did you tell us, because we're always interested, how did you celebrate Christmas 1943 then?
It was good. We, I think the cook, and they got hold of a pig that they killed, and so we had a pork, and then the officers there, they had to wait on us, and the officers for the Christmas meal. That was quite a good meal. I don't think we were there very long though. Then we got moved over to the casino area.
That's not in the Monte Cassino area then, Avigliano?
No, it's further south.
Now, were you aware of what was happening at Monte Cassino?
We used to get radio. And I kept hearing about the casino, the Americans, you see, at the casino. I kept mentioning the casino. I thought, none of us have ever heard of it. And then when we were on the road going to casino, when the road turned, we saw this building, massive building, right high. And I thought, blimey, no wonder the Americans have got into trouble. So that was our first view of
the monastery.
Monastery. And here it is up there.
And what was the situation? Yeah, there's a picture on your wall. Quite good. So what was the situation when you got there, as far as you knew? I know you're a private soldier. You're still a private, aren't you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, private. Yeah. Always right.
So what was the situation as far as you could gather what was going on?
Well, I thought the Americans had a hopeless task. And I thought myself that it was impossible to anybody to take it. The only way would be cut it off round, you know, mould around the back. The only way to take it, I thought they wouldn't even dream of attacking it, but they decided to attack it, because then Anzio came, and then Anzio got into trouble. They didn't move from the beach, so then Cassino had to help out Anzio instead of Anzio helping out Cassino. Is that the way around? No.
You were aware of Anzio, were you?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, where were you dug in? Where were you at Monte Cassino?
We went to a casino. We was in a place called Wadi Villa. That's where we entered it. And it was a wadi in between two hills, but it was overlooked by Mount Cairo, which was a snow-capped mountain, quite high. And there must have had observers there all the time. And we took a lot of casualties in this Wadi Villa.
So it was an attack on Wadi Villa. Wadi Villa is part of Monte Cassino, is it, or near it?
Yes, it's right. It's the Wadi, and the monastery is...
So it's in the town.
And the town's the other side of the monastery. Yeah.
Right. So tell me about the attack on Wadi. Is Wadi as in the African Wadi?
No, it wasn't attacked. It was already taken. We just moved into this Wadi Villa.
So what were the positions like in Wadi Villa?
We put these two men bivvies down. That's the only cover we could have. But you were under observation all the time. You used to get a lot of shelling and mortar in there.
And what was it like? Because was it more concentrated than you'd had before?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So what was it? What did you
and
do?
It was cold. And, we were waiting to...
under the shell fire and what? I mean, what was there anything you could do, dig in further or...?
You couldn't dig in very well because it wasn't sand. It was... you had to put rocks and that, what you can find, and build it up like a sanger, build it up. So you never had the protection. If anything, when the shell, you get splinters from rocks, that could be dangerous as well.
Was there any trenches, or was it all sangers?
No, there's no, you couldn't build a trench. It was mostly sangers. You had to build them up yourself.
But they're not as good.
No, you're much safer. You can go lower with
Now, were you getting the food and water properly when you were in Wadi Villa?
We got water all right. I think food was the main thing, more important than the water.
Well, tell us about the food. What was the problem with the food?
Getting supplies up to this place because... you're under observation. You see, the supply routes were under observation all the time from the heights, and then any convoys and that got bombed or shelled, you know, not bombed but shelled. That was the always awkward part about Cassino, was the getting into the town or getting into the area, really. Went on for that was. January. We entered Cassino in January, beginning of January, and then we was there till, well, my unit were there till May, till the last battle. There was four battles there. First with the Americans, second with the Royal Sussex, that's 4th Indian, 5th with the that's 4th under the New Zealand Brigade, the 2nd and 3rd were under the New Zealand Brigade.
So you were occupying these positions. Was there a problem with snipers at all with
the
Germans?
All the time. That's the worst part, the snipers, yeah.
Tell me about the sniper problem.
Well, there was a .175, and that's where that picture on the wall outside is, 175. If you went round...
That's near Wadi Villa, is it?
Yeah, that's the end part of Wadi Villa. So if you went round the back, you were under view from Monastery Hill, so you're under sniper fire all the time. So that's why most of the supplies had to go up at night, because and that was hazardous, trying to get through anybody taking supplies up. Porters, and that had a hell of a job. In fact, most of it had to be done by mule. There's a lot of mules killed there as well, and that's the trouble there.
Did you do sniping, or was it just not the viewpoint?
No, I wasn't a sniper.
Or any of your unit do sniping?
We had one chap, he was a very good shot, but he was a young chap, he was very religious though, so they used to give him his Bible, he should take it up on the hillside and snipe during the daytime. When he came back at night, I remember saying to him, you're a bit of a hypocrite. I said, you take the Bible up and you're killing people. And he just laughed. He said, well, he who taketh up the sword must perish by the sword.
Sometimes snipers weren't popular.
No, they're unpopular all the time with everybody.
Can you explain that? I mean, I know I raised it, but can you explain?
Because and with a sniper, it's a personal. They're taking life and they can see it. But with a shell fire, you don't know who you're killing. With a rifle fire in the dark, you don't know who you're killing, but you're just stopping the opposition coming to you. But with a sniper, they're out in the daylight, they can see a body, and they're taking... I know that's what you should do, but they're taking life, really, as an individual.
Now, why didn't you like that? You just thought...
No, I know it's wrong, but I think all the troops were against snipers, even the Germans were.
So you just didn't, you thought they were strange chaps, cold-blooded.
Cold-blooded, yeah, that's right, yeah. It's a funny way of looking at it, but there it is.
Now, so what were you doing during the day, you know, before you go into the attack at Wadi Villa and Point, was it 175, yeah? What was a typical day like there?
That was horrible because you were under mortar or shell fire nearly every day. And in phases, they start in the morning at certain times, then in the afternoon, then they get one in the evening. And there's always lots of casualties from this. I think we lost quite a few men just waiting to go into the attack.
Before. So how were casualties treated? I mean, you know, how were they sort of evacuated back?
Stretcher bearers had a hell of a job because they had to get them and then take them over hills and mountains and that, and to the roads, which was quite lower down. It's a bit of a job carrying stretchers and that down hills and that with them. And under fire as well, so they're a rough job, the stretcher bearers.
Did you admire them then?
I admire them, yeah.
So it wasn't Rob or my comrades, you actually thought they did a good job?
Oh, yeah.
Because you know that's an old thing they call them, Rob or. There's nicknames to the Royal Army Medical Corps and things.
Oh,
but
no.
you admired them?
Yeah, I admire them, yeah. Any medical treatment, yeah.
And do you think casualties were treated well?
Yeah, I think on both sides, yeah, yeah.
So, what would you do during this typical day then? So what time would you get up? I mean, getting up's the wrong word, but you're in line in Sangers, are you? Or
with the old bivouacs over the top. Two men bivvies, you know. It's the only bit of shelter you had. Because it was, we used to get snow, rain, and at times your battle dress was just soaked at times, and there's no way of drying it. And I always remember that we'll pay for this when we get older. We get arthritis, and I think we do now. I get arthritis a lot.
So you just had a two-man bivouac. Who were you in there with? Did you have a mate?
George Clark. I also remember his name, yeah.
And tell us a bit about George Clark.
Yeah.
What was special about him for you, or was it just...
Oh, he took over the walkie-talkie set.
Yeah. Just a private?
Yeah. Because in Italy, runners were... I lost the job as runner because they're useless runners in Italy. You couldn't have runners at night walking up. They'd never find them.
Because of the mountains, you mean?
Yeah. And the weather as well. So I had to rely on radio, really.
But tell us about George Clark. I'll come...
Yeah, he's in that picture.
What was he like?
Nice chap. He lived at Dagenham. Yes, just shared the bivvy with me. No, he was quite a nice chap, yeah.
So, you weren't a runner anymore. What were you doing then?
I was just one of the...
back to normal.
I wasn't all that keen on that runner business as well, really.
Why not?
See, when you're runner, you're with company headquarters first, then you're not with your platoon a lot of the time. But I always wanted to be with my mates in the platoon, so with company headquarters, with the RSM or the company commander. Not that I was against them, but I wanted to be with the boys, you know.
So you just preferred it?
Preferred it, yeah.
And take us through this typical day. You're in a two-man bivouac. What would you do all day?
There's nothing you could do there, really. You couldn't walk around there because you're under observation. So, you just sort of lay there and walk around, get a bit of exercise, because after a time, just laying about, you're not fit, really.
And what about in the night time?
Once you got past dark, the artillery fire seems to have receded, and I suppose both sides sort of wanted to get some sleep as well.
Tell me, did you have sentry duty?
No, I don't
have sentries?
No.
Did you have a stand to in the morning?
Oh, you have stand to, yeah.
Can you explain to me what a stand to was?
Stand to, well, you just stand to and wait to just look around to see if anything's happening, that's all.
How long for?
Only about 5 minutes, that's all. Yeah.
And when was that, dawn or a set
dawn,
time?
As soon as dawn broke, yeah.
And you'd all get ready?
Get ready, yeah.
Do you know why?
Why? Because that's when the Germans always used to attack dawn, where the British always used to attack at night. Germans were very strict to the timetable, always done certain things at certain times. And they used to their artillery used to fire at certain times. So after a time, you used to get used to it, or know when it was coming.
Did you get any contact with home? Could you write letters or did you get parcels? And that's in Africa as well. I should have mentioned, But generally, let's talk about it.
I used to get airmail letters from home, yeah.
They were always airmail, were they?
Airmail.
Could you write back airmail? Was that how it's done? What is an airmail letter?
Well, it's already... one somewhere, find it.
It's just so that if you
it's all done for you, just the address on you. Just
what they used to call a field postcard in the first world. Just cross out, I am feeling well, I am not. That one of those, did you write letters, proper letters?
I don't think you could write very well. What was it, casino? It was difficult writing at all there, you couldn't write because you didn't get the opportunity. To write.
But before then, had you written?
Before, yeah, in Africa you could, yeah.
And was it important to you writing home or them writing back?
Oh, yeah, getting letters as well was important, yeah.
Why was it so important?
It's contact with your family, isn't it?
And what about parcels? Did you ever get parcels?
Now, funnily enough, I got one parcel, but this is a bit going on further when I was POW.
No. Yeah, I mean, did you get any parcels in Italy or in
not
North
from
Africa?
No.
But who would you write to?
I should write to my mother, my sister, or sisters, so two. And then I should write to my friend, Denny Circus, who got killed in Cannes. But, yeah.
And they wrote back?
Oh, yes.
Now, just carrying on some other things that might happen in a day. Did you talk to each other in the trench, in the Sangers? I mean, it would be mainly George. But would you talk to the others about what was going on? What would you talk about in the trenches? Oh, I keep saying trenches, Sangers.
In the Sangers?
Yeah, if you could.
No.
Did you talk about the war or home or food or...
No, I don't think there's a lot of talk. I think everybody was so cold and miserable that...
Was there any heating at all?
No heating, no.
How bad was the cold sitting in your Sanger?
It was really cold. Well, the weather, like last week, it was much colder than that we had here.
And that, so well below zero, because that was between one and naught, below the centigrade. Yeah. So it was well below that.
Yeah.
And what's that, it like out and about in the...
Well, I know you're younger there, but me, I still also not having a lot of fat. I always felt the cold more than some of the others. But there again, I think most of them, I don't remember seeing any fat soldiers there.
Did you have you had your great coat. Anything else?
No, that's all. Oh, the gas cape that used to come in handy. We used to use them as a sort of waterproofing.
I mean, would you try and keep warm together, you and George? Was it George? Yes, George. I mean, did you sleep sort of next to each other?
Oh, no. One sleeps one head one way and one head the other way, yeah.
So, but it's pretty bad. And a bit of a shortage of food there as well, from the sound of it.
Yeah, the cook, he was pretty good, a chap called Chirpy Brooks. And he was pretty good cook. He used to cook under very exceptional conditions.
In
the Wadi Villa, and I remember, because it was trouble is sometimes when lunch comes you get shellfire come over just before lunch. Whether they used to know the timing of our lunch, I don't know. But no, it wasn't bad, the food there.
So even though there were supply problems, when you got it, it was prepared.
It was hot and something you could eat. You know. Wasn't like it's just like corned beef and hash. That's the moment, mostly hash, really.
But that was good enough.
Yeah.
Did you go on patrols at all?
No. You couldn't go on a patrol because, see, Wadi Villa is the in between the track in between. Over the other side is this. 0.175. The other side of is the Castle Hill, which they call Castle Hill, and you couldn't patrol because at night time you drop about 20 foot. We lost chaps dropping 60 foot, a section dropped 60, all killed, 60 foot drop, just coming with a.
So there were steep falls everywhere.
Unless you knew the way, or I mean, in the dark, it's not easy to detect any drops. So it's not so bad. Well, it's that bad enough in the daytime, but night time, I mean, you've got to be careful every foot you take.